Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Happy Saturday! We made it, y'all. We're here. Put in the chat if you can hear us and you're listening to us live. We always trying to check things out, make sure we're good here in the studio. How are you doing?
I'm good. This week was state testing week. A lot of proctoring, even for my kids. So it's a long testing week to me. It's just so long.
Do you always, like, as a teacher, I know it's a lot of work for the students, but do you feel pressure, like, have I done my due diligence? Have I, you know, done everything I could to make sure they succeed? Or are you like, it's in the Lord's hand at this point?
I feel like, okay, we start in August. And here we are. It's almost May. So, like, if I've done my part. I've done the best that I could do. It's all in your hands. So, I don't really feel like a lot of pressure in it. I guess it depends on what content I'm teaching. Like if I'm teaching a course that is a heavily weighted EOG course or EOC course,
which means
their test score is like 20% of their current grade. And those are the scores that like everyone's looking at to determine like if you're meeting your metrics. Those type of content, you know, those teachers are usually under more pressure because everybody's watching your test scores.
Makes sense. Got it. Okay. Well, y'all, we have a very special guest with us this morning, Miss Cynthia Crawford. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yes. Before we formally introduce you, how has your week been?
My week has been, it's actually been really good. I'm enjoying this Georgia spring weather.
It's coming.
I'm loving it. You know, this is the time when you can get out, go for a nice walk. So, yeah, it's been a great week.
Awesome. Well, y'all are in for a treat this morning. The amazing Cynthia Crawford is going to be joining us. Oh, and I have to share about my week. I forgot. My week was, it was good. It was a little busy, but good busy. And I asked the, testing question because the group of college students that I have been coaching this semester, they had a capstone presentation on Wednesday. And I was like, you know, I was nervous for them. I know they were nervous and overwhelmed, but I was just going back and forth like, you know, is their success a reflection of how I did as a coach and anything I could do differently moving forward, all kinds of stuff. So in my mind, I'm always just trying to figure that out, like, just the correlation between the two. You know, you do what you can, but at the end of the day, you know, it's their grade, it's their life, it's their future. So yeah,
that's true.
So we'll see. All right, so let's get into it with the amazing Cynthia Crawford. So Cynthia Crawford is in upstate New York, native raised. Learn something new every day, okay? With Southern charm. Oh, you do have Southern charm. All right. She holds a Master of Divinity, amen, from Luther Rice University and is passionate about studying and teaching God's word, especially when with women and youth. And so that's, yeah, amazing combination. She's also an advocate for women in ministry, helping them to discern and pursue their calling. Amen. Recently, which we're going to get into, she became a life coach specializing in helping women confidently walk in their calling. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any way we can support and get behind that, we're here for it.
Thank you.
That's what's up. So awesome. Awesome. Wow. Well, we're looking forward to diving into that. But before we dive into that, you know, we got to talk what's trending. So it's been an interesting week. I feel like, you know, let's talk a little bit about relationships for a minute. So if y'all are, you know, if you've been around long enough to, you know, remember when rapper Nelly and singer Ashanti were dating. They dated for a long time, actually. Then you might be intrigued by the fact that there was a sighting this week of the two of them at a fight, at a boxing fight. And so a lot of people were talking like, are these two back together? A lot of people were like, yes, I'm here for it. You know, second time around, they've matured. I'm sure they both have learned and know what they want, what they don't want, you know. But my question is, would you ever date an ex?
For me personally? No.
Oh, okay. Tell us why.
Well, I mean, none of my exes, no.
Somebody else's ex. I'll date somebody else's ex. But, not-
but you know... As time goes on, you mature, you change, things that you want in life change. And when I look at you know, who I dated in my past, and when I look at where I am now, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And I mean, it might work for other people, but you know, as you grow and as you get older, as a woman in her 40s, there's certain things that, you know, I just don't want to deal with anymore. And I, you know, looking at an ex, I can't promise that, you know, they're at the same place that I am. So, no, we're good. Time to move on.
What if they've changed? What if they've grown and matured?
I mean, if they have grown and matured, that's great. But, I'm good.
She's like, still a no.
I'm good.
All right, all right. What about you, Toya?
I will say, there was this one person that I wouldn't, well, I guess,
We weren't official.
We just dated in college. He was like maybe 10 years older than me. And at the time, you know, God was like, nope, that's not it.
Not for you. Okay.
And so, like, you know, we ended up ending it. And then when I would say maybe like, this is before Ryan, of course. We ended up talking, I guess is what you would call it, because we were never official. We ended up like dating again for maybe 4 or 5 months. And I thought like he had matured and like, I mean, he was already older than me.
Yeah.
But his lifestyle wasn't quite lining up with like his words.
What was the space between the first time y'all talked and the second time? Like, how long?
I would say it was probably 6 years, 6 or 7 years.
Wow. And still.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. I was a young little tenderoni when we,
all right, tenderoni.
Well, I was a young college student and he was like 10 years older than
got it.
And
okay.
So when it came back around, he still was, you know, playing game. Just like, like, you should.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
Got
so
it.
I was like, now, God, I know you told me no the first time. So this is all, I should have listened.
Yeah.
And a no is a no.
Amen.
It's not like, it wasn't a maybe later. It was just, that's not for
you. Yeah. No, I feel you. I mean, I struggled with that question as well, because in my mind, I'm like, there's a reason that they're your ex. There's a reason that it didn't work out the first time. So, I mean, I would have to hear clearly from God if he's like, you know, I want you to revisit this. But yeah, I feel like they're your ex for a reason. But, you know, you never know what happens with good old Nelly and Ashanti. We'll see. Wishing y'all all the best. And, you know, Ashanti, if you ever want to talk about it, we're here for you. So, you know, so that's that. And then I would say the other thing that I wanted to talk to y'all about is for Simone Biles, gymnast, amazing gymnast. She actually recently got married. She got married and there was a post where she, you know, was posting about happiest day of her life and everything. And, you know, us Black women, we got to comment about everything, but you know, it basically was looking like her edges were struggling a little bit. And so instead of congratulating her on her new nuptials, like newly minted nuptials, everybody's like, well, what's going on with your hair? You know, and I feel bad because I feel like gymnasts in general, like I think about her, I know there was another gymnast before her that
Gabby Douglas
got a lot of flack about their hair. And I mean, I think there are a lot of circumstances with that, just because in gymnastics in general, it's not a predominantly Black sport. In a lot of cases, these women have literally left their families, gone and stayed with white families, if I'm honest, because they want to hone their craft. So while they're honing their craft, they don't necessarily have somebody to be like, here's how you handle them edges. Just real talk. But all that to say, on your wedding day, you're hearing this. So my question is, do you think that we as Black women might be just a little bit too hard on one another when it comes to hair and how we present ourselves? I don't know.
Definitely, definitely. Because I saw the pictures. I saw mm-hmm. when she posted. I'm thinking, oh, mm-hmm. congratulations. She got married. Mm-hmm. I never once even looked at her edges. Like, that was not even a thought. And even when I saw that people were complaining about her edges, I'm like, like, what did you do? Zoom in? Yeah. I don't understand. But we are too hard on each other about our hair. Mm. Because I know, and when I went away to college, I did the big chop before it was even the big chop.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were saying, oh, my goodness, you cut off all your hair. Mm-hmm. But then a few months later, after they saw my little fro yeah. and my twist and my yeah. locks, they're like, who did your hair?
Exactly.
So, yes, I think we're just too hard on each other with our hair. We don't have to be that way. Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah.
Tough. What yeah. about you, Tori?
I mean, I definitely agree. I think we need to get free from that. Like,
yeah.
Let people have whatever edges they want to have.
Or no edges.
Like, or no edges. Yeah. Like, let yeah. people be who they are yeah. and stop being so critical. You yeah. know, just the standard of beauty, mm-hmm. I think it, what media has portrayed, mm-hmm. like, I just think we need to get free of that yeah. and just, like, build each other up. Yeah. Like, stop tearing each other down. Why are you worried about somebody's edges? Like,
but you, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I think the standard of beauty, which is, if I'm honest, a European standard of beauty, mm-hmm. is what Black women have tried to, you know, attain and reach mm-hmm. for so long that we don't know how to love ourselves. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, your edges, they're your, like, literally the edges you came into this world with. And so, like, your natural edges. So when your natural aspect, your natural texture, your natural waves start to come to the forefront, people think, oh, why, you know, why are you really showing who you are, how you were born? Mm-hmm. You know, because we don't know how to accept our own beauty, because it, for so long we've been taught that the standard of beauty is like everything but, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're just now, I would say within the last 5 to 10 years, just now accepting natural hair as a, you know, standard of beauty.
And I love it for my girls.
Yeah.
I have 3 girls with 3 different textures of hair.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to teach them to love the hair that God gave them.
Yeah.
And don't compare to your sister, or, you know, like, don't compare. Yeah. Like, oh, look, you can do this with your hair.
That's so
and, you
good.
Know, like, just
yeah.
trying to really show them that mm-hmm. the beauty in how God created
yeah.
them, and this is the hair that God gave you. This is how we're going to work it yeah. and make it, you know, beautiful.
That.
So, like, hair day is always,
yeah,
it's a thing at our house. And it's just, it's interesting just watching them pick out hairstyles mm-hmm. because they'll say, ooh, I want my hair to look like hers.
Yeah.
I'm like, doesn't quite do mm-hmm. do like that, but let's try this look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just trying to show them that appreciate what you have.
Yes.
We all have different textures, so
yeah. And what you have is a gift from God, so
amen.
We should embrace it. Yeah,
amen.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. And that not comparing that's a lifelong lesson. Like really enjoying and celebrating who you are without looking to your right and to your left. Like,
yeah.
It. So all that to say, Black women, can we please get a little bit better at not throwing shade when it comes to the hair? Please, please, please. That's all I'm going to say. So I'll turn it over to you, Toya.
Yeah. So Cynthia, Maya did a great job introducing you with your bio, but can you tell us a little bit more detail about how you grew up, where mm-hmm. you're from? Tell us about your family. What was it like growing up? Stuff like that.
Okay. So like Maya said in my bio, I grew up in what's considered upstate New York. It's really not upstate. It's 30 minutes from the Jersey border.
Okay.
But people from New York City get a little offended when you say you're from New York, and I'm New York State. So I grew up 60 miles north of New York City. I grew up in a single parent family. Just a few months after I was born, my parents split. Mm. So my mom had to raise the four of us. I have two older brothers, an older sister. Then I'm that baby that came 7 years later. Gotcha. Wasn't quite expecting, but family wasn't complete without me.
Aww.
But yeah, I watched my mom do her best to raise the four of us. Mm-hmm. So when I was 4 years old, we walked to the local college and she enrolled.
Wow.
And she finished a four-year degree with four kids in 5 years.
Wow.
Because she was determined to give us a good life. And so just watching her just strive to be the best that she could be for her children, that just inspired me. I tell people I should have gotten a college degree at 10 years old because I sat through the classes with her. So yeah, so we had a really loving home. Like I said, she did the best that she could to raise us. I grew up in the church, going to Sunday school. So church has always been an integral piece of my life, you know, where you find love, where you find connection. So yeah, so that's my childhood. Grew up in a really diverse city, which really made me who I am because we had a lot of immigrants. It was just diverse. I call my high school the United Nations. So that has really shaped my outlook on life.
That's
so
awesome. A diverse high school.
Yeah.
Amen for that.
Yeah.
So you grew up in the church. Now, sometimes I feel like I grew up in the church too, but I feel like my personal relationship with God wasn't really solid until I was in college and able to really like make that decision to really want to serve God, even though, you know, I grew up in the church and, you know, Sunday school, teaching Sunday school. When would you say you developed like that real personal relationship with God, and how has it evolved over the years?
That's always been an interesting question to answer because quite often people have this dramatic testimony of, oh, you know, I was out there and then finally I came to the Lord. But my story isn't like that. My story is one of just understanding progressively as a young child and my faith growing. So there was never a time when I was, I would say, like, rebellious or falling away. But however, you know, my faith has grown over time. It was at a young age that I knew that I loved the church. I knew that I loved serving the church. Wow. I didn't quite understand it. My childhood pastor, he would try to develop that love for the church, but I didn't understand, you know, what it meant. He tried to get me to go to a college that a lot of ministers went to, and I just didn't get it. So, but that growing up in the church, I can look back now and see that was what my vocation, my job was supposed to be, even though it's been a journey working in corporate. I've come to understand that my purpose is to serve the local church.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, when you talk about your faith, like steadily growing over the years, it sounds like you definitely had a foundation there, with your local church and with your childhood pastor and everything. How, like, did your childhood pastor encourage you to like develop that personal relationship, or how has that personal relationship developed over the years?
So the church that I grew up in, shout out to Ebenezer Baptist Church, Newburgh, New York.
Oh, yeah.
So the pastor, you know, as a child, you don't always understand what people are doing. But, you know, we had a great group of ministers that would say, hey, you teach Sunday school, or come help out with a vacation Bible school. So we had quite a few ministers who are now pastors that I can look back and say, my father wasn't there, but they fathered me in a sense of pulling that out of me and say, you know, try this out, go teach. I just have to give a lot of credit to that foundation that was laid.
And I have to ask, because I feel like for those that feel like like people that have a similar testimony oftentimes feel like they don't have a testimony, mm-hmm. if you will, because it's like, I didn't come from a life of smoking or drinking or promiscuity or whatever. But at the same time, you know, the Lord is real. He's definitely saved your soul and you mm-hmm. have a relationship with him. Were there ever challenges that you ran into where you questioned your faith or where you had to wrestle with God and be like, okay, I love you and all, but I'm struggling.
Right. There's been plenty of times. Well, for one, this understanding of what my calling is, what my vocation is. For one, you didn't see people, period, working full time for churches mm-hmm. or full time in ministry. Mm-hmm. So you might see the pastor. And then when it comes to being a woman, you really don't have anything. You'll see a woman as church secretary.
Got it.
So you don't even think. You don't even think that this mm-hmm. is possible. You don't even think. Mm-hmm. So I struggled with that. And, you know, when I went to college, I majored in business because mm-hmm. you can get a job with a business degree. Yeah. And it got me a job. But I was miserable. And just trying to understand, like, God, you know, what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. You know, there are people out there that love their work. Mm-hmm. I want to be that person that loves my work. I don't want to just drive into a job and be miserable. So just struggling through that. And then I finally went to seminary because I said, let me go to seminary because mm-hmm. maybe that'll help me figure this out. And going to seminary opened up my eyes. Even in college, I saw people in college ministry. And then I started seeing women in ministry. And I was thinking, okay, it is possible. So struggling with that. And then, of course, there's times in life, you know, you just go through seasons of life. Like I was married, mm-hmm. Divorced. You question God in those times in your life. You know, growing up with a father, you question that. Like you see other people with their father and you're wondering, why can't I have my father? Yeah. So I went through those struggles. And then moving, when I got divorced, separated and then divorced, moving to Atlanta, mm-hmm. I moved here with no job, no car. Oh. So that was a struggle, but mm-hmm. that's a whole nother testimony because in 30 days I had a car and a full-time job.
Won't he?
Wow.
Won't he do it?
So yeah. So me and God we've had our times. It might not look like everybody else's struggles, mm-hmm. but I've had my struggles. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can amazing. You walk us through, I know you mentioned you worked in corporate America. Can you kind of walk us through your journey on developing that passion that you have to mm-hmm. become a life coach? Like, just walk us through.
Okay.
That.
So I usually start with Atlanta because when I got to Atlanta and, you know, I separated from my husband, but I was like, I don't know what's going to be, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to resolve this or what. Gotcha. I said, but you know what? I'm going to take this time and kind of go back and say, if I was single, what would I do? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to seminary. So I went to seminary. I found a church. I joined one of Atlanta's mega churches, got involved in the youth ministry, got to serve as the volunteer director of discipleship for that. So I'm working this full-time job in corporate America. I'm going to seminary and I'm doing youth ministry. And I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
gotcha.
So it was a lot. And then, you know, Atlanta, the commute is, mm-hmm. that'll just about kill you by mm-hmm. itself. But I enjoyed being in seminary. I enjoyed youth ministry. And that was when I was like, okay, I need to transition mm-hmm. and ministry needs to be my career because that's what brings me joy.
Amen.
So eventually I ended up working for a ministry here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. However, you know, you have to be kind of careful because just because you're Christian does not mean your faith lines up mm-hmm. with that ministry. Hey. So that didn't work out. They let me go. And I said, actually, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a period of 3 years when I struggled to find full-time work.
Okay.
And then that is actually when I met our mutual friend, Kia.
Yes.
And someone posted this job in the group. And she said, go ahead, apply for it. I'm like, I've never been an editor. What mm-hmm. are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Anyway, applied for that job. 24 hours later, they called me back for the job. Ended That's up moving amazing. To Chicago for 2 years. Took that job.
Amazing.
Was with that organization for a little over 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then got laid off.
Gotcha.
So then I'm like, okay, God, what's next? Mm-hmm. Ended up working for a church. But in that journey, it's just easier to work for someone else and get a steady paycheck. Mm-hmm. But all throughout that, I'm realizing I don't want to depend on somebody else for my paycheck. And God has given me everything that I need. Amen. He's given me so many ideas. So that is how I've gotten to the point where I am now, where
wow.
I want to do everything that God has called me and created me to do. And mm-hmm. I can't necessarily do that mm-hmm. on somebody's payroll.
Ooh. She talking, y'all. So. She talking that talk now. You have anything else for Origin Story before we dive into Notables?
So how do you use your passions of life coaching mm-hmm. to really support those around you?
Mm-hmm. Right. So like I said before, as a woman, you don't really, let's say in the 80s, 90s, you really didn't see a lot of women in ministry.
Yeah.
So the first one that I really saw was Joyce Meyer okay. out there. And I was like, wow, she travels mm-hmm. around speaking. I was like, that's kind of cool. But you really didn't see a lot. But then, you know, as you go on, you see like Kay Arthur, mm-hmm. you see Beth Moore, and then finally like Priscilla Shire.
Yeah.
We can do this.
Yes.
And then over the years, you progressively seen more Black women. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the point now where, you know, I interact with a lot of Black women who are not in ministry, but they should. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, we carry the church. We should. And so my goal now is to connect with these women and pull those gifts out of them and help them discern their call and confidently walk in it. Because I've had the opportunity to work for ministries. I've had the opportunity to work for church. I've been on a church plant team. So I've seen mm-hmm. different fields, because being in the ministry is not just about speaking. It's just not just about preaching. I've been able to work in the Christian mm-hmm. publishing industry. I've worked for a Christian broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I've worked for a church. Like mm-hmm. I said, I've helped plant a church. There's so many different ways yeah. that we can be in ministry, and I want to help women figure that out and confidently walk in it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
That is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love the fact that, well, first of all, you definitely hit the nail on the head as far as us not always seeing women active in ministry. Like, that's the first thing. So we often wonder, like, what does it look like to be in full-time ministry? What opportunities are there in full-time ministry? And, you know, basically, how could I pull something off like that? Especially if you feel like you're called to support the church, your local church. But then I also like the fact, too, that I feel like oftentimes people discount working in full-time ministry as, you know, what you sit and you reading your Bible all day, mm-hmm. you praying all day. Like, no, you're running organizations, mm-hmm. you're closing deals, you're networking, you're building things from the ground up. There are so many skills that you learn in full-time ministry pretty much because you have to. Like, mm-hmm. you're blazing a trail. And so those skills can be applied in so many different ways and areas of life. And so for you to realize that, acknowledge that in yourself, and then say, hey, I'm going to help pull that out of other women. That's huge.
Yes, because we hold the church together, but mm. we get stuck in children's ministry and women's ministry. Mm. Like, those are the two main things.
Or Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. Or Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more. If you pulled the women out of the church would collapse.
Would crumble. Mm-hmm.
So I just want women to know there is more out there. And then sometimes it's entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And you can do it. It's not only can you do it, God created you to do it. So just sitting on your gifts is not honoring God. It's not honoring mm-hmm. who God created you to be. And I see so many people leave this world without fully living out their purpose. Yeah. And it's like, what are we missing out on from the people who are not fully living out their purpose? There's so much mm-hmm. that we're missing out on.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. My goodness. Wow. Did you have anything else, Toya?
I think that was it for... Yeah, let's move on to notable moments.
Okay, awesome. Well, one thing that struck a chord with me when you were talking about, okay, I don't want to depend on anybody else for my paycheck. Like, everything that God has put in me is enough for me to generate my own paycheck. I was like, woo, She talking that talk, y'all. She talking that talk. So I really want to know, like what that journey has been like for you going from working, whether it was full-time in corporate America, full-time in ministry, in whatever sector, where basically, again, someone else was providing your paycheck, to saying, hey, I'm going to build my own business mm-hmm. and generate my own revenue to support myself. Like, mm-hmm. What has that process been like? How did you feel? How do you feel? Like,
well, for one, I've had a lot of people over the years call out things in me and say, you know, I see you doing more, because I'm the kind of person, I don't mind being in the background. I actually prefer to be in the background. I'm good with it. You don't even have to know I'm there, but I'm still going to support. But people have called me out and said, hey, Cynthia, you know, there's more than what there's more out there for you to do, for one. For two, for all of the positions that I've been in, there has been that something that's just not right. Something that's just not comfortable. Something, you know, that thing that makes you, when you get in the car to go to work, go like, do I really want to?
Yeah.
And when you have that feeling, you can't just ignore it.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you're not settled with that. Mm-hmm. And I have a great Christian therapist and she's helped me work through this over the past couple of years, and basically say there's only one option, and that option is just to do it. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that you're going to find your joy is that you trust that God will provide. Mm-hmm. If he gave it to you, he will provide. Yeah. So that's how I've just gotten to this point where I said, you know what, I'm done with being miserable, you know, so God, I trust you that you're going to provide.
Wow. And just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
So over like what span of time did you start moving in this direction or realize you needed to move into this direction before you were like, all right, I got to take
You this know, time. This that whole transition to Atlanta, I believe it started there.
Oh, wow.
I really believe it started there because before I moved to Atlanta, I had that thought of going to seminary. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was, you know, like, it just wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And so I believe it really started there and God was really planting seeds. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't take for granted all the places that I've been, because I learned from that working in corporate America. I learned what an organization looks like. I've seen what it is to be, you know, at a job where you have to merge with another company, all that good stuff, and deal with, you know, politics and hiring and firing and managing a team. I've worked for, like I said, a broadcast ministry. So I understand what it takes to do international ministry, shipping products international, receiving in donations. I understand that. I worked for a Christian magazine. So I understand the publishing piece of it. I got to meet a lot of people who are, you know, known Christians, and just see their journey and what it looks like. And then working at a church, I got to understand what it's like, you know, in the church, serving the local church, the politics of the local church. And like I said, helping plan a church with that. So I can take all of those skills and use them, make it work, like and help other people. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get practical for a minute. Cause I don't want to be like, you know, Beyonce over here talking about some quit your job. making it rain with letters of resignation. Like I'm out, you know, like let's talk practically. What steps did you take in order to prepare for this transition? Like financially, emotionally, you know, practically, even just like with your bills, if it's like, okay, I'm not doing cable, or I'm not, you know, or I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff out there. But talk about, I would say, three practical steps that you took to prepare to leave your 9-to-5.
Well, for one, I can't say that I'm 100% financially in the perfect place, but just looking through all your bills, putting yourself on a budget, putting some money aside, having a plan to continue to put money aside. Also, like I haven't had cable in years.
Okay,
you know, you get that little Netflix, Hulu,
keep it moving,
and keep you YouTube. You know, there's a lot of entertainment on YouTube.
There you go. It really is.
There's plenty of entertainment on YouTube. Or just, you know, You don't need to be in a screen mm-hmm. all the time, but also prayer. So mm-hmm. prayer, you can't do this without prayer, because you can say, oh, I'm just going to go do my, no, the reason now is the time is prayer, and that the Holy Spirit letting me know that now is the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's real, because one thing that I am learning in life is, because I'm a consummate planner, preparer, like I'm gonna map it out from front to back and we're gonna have everything laid out. And God is constantly reminding me that, yes, that's great that you're a planner. I've gifted you to plan, but at the end of the day, I still have a final say. God still has the final say. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, he could just change things in a minute. And I have to be okay with that. I have to be okay with, like, trusting him mm-hmm. because I can't trust the plan more than I trust God. I can't trust what I think I know more than I trust God. And so he's constantly putting me in positions where he's like, that's great that you did all that, but I need you to come right on back here and get on them knees and holler at your boy. Mm-hmm. Like, talk to me, engage with me, depend on me, trust me, because I'm the one who ultimately knows. And so,
yeah,
that's huge. Wow. Whew, okay.
It's very inspiring.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Scary though, but
yeah, I can imagine.
So while we have the life coach expert here, can you give us, I would say, just some general tips? I would say three practical tips that you usually give to some of your clients. You know, I know a lot of people are listening saying, I need a life coach. You know, I need to figure out my purpose, my calling. You know, I want to work full time for myself or whatever. So, but where do you, like, what are three tips that you constantly kind of find yourself giving mm-hmm. a lot of your clients?
Well, for one, trust your gut.
Mm.
When something doesn't seem right, pay attention to it, because it's redirecting you somewhere. Mm. So trust your gut, pay attention. That would be one. For two, I'm unapologetically Christian. So pray, seek God. Without him, there is no us. He's the one that created you. He's not going to steer you wrong.
Yeah.
And the other is do it afraid. There's nothing.
Did you say do it afraid?
Do it afraid. There's nothing
just
wrong.
Talking about that.
There's nothing wrong with being afraid.
Mm.
The problem is getting stuck in it. And sometimes you just have to say, you know, I'm afraid, but we're going to do this, because we're human. We're human. So we're going to have that feeling of, that wonder, mm-hmm. am I going in the right direction? Mm-hmm. But the only way to know that you're going in the right direction is to take a step. And, mm-hmm. you know, you might take a wrong step, but yeah. you're not going to know it's a wrong step unless you
take it.
So mm-hmm. sometimes you just gotta just go.
All right. We're going to unpack this. Number one, mm-hmm. trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say gut, I mean, oftentimes, because I thought about, like, what you were saying earlier in our conversation about how, you know, you get the job, go to the job, and you still kind of had those feelings or those disconnects, like, oh, do I really? So I'm attributing that to kind of being your gut,
mm-hmm.
right?
Holy Spirit.
Oh, amen. Holy mm-hmm, Spirit. Mm-hmm. Then I'm also thinking too, like, I've been in conversations where people will say, and I get it, because I'm a huge proponent of, you know, just believing and understanding that your body is connected to mm-hmm. your, it's a manifestation at times, responds to your emotions, you know, and just where you are in that state. And so, like, literally when people say, I have a knot in my stomach, mm-hmm. I feel like that's a part of trusting your gut too,
yes.
because your body is responding to whatever dis-ease or discomfort or discontentment is going on around you. So trust your gut, like, physically, emotionally, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit wise, mm-hmm. like, spiritually, like, trust your gut. That's
yes.
huge.
Yes.
What was the second one?
The second one was to pray. Was the second one pray? Yeah. Pray.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what type of prayers or I won't even say questions, like, is it just sitting in there? Is it listening more than speaking? Like, when you say pray, I'm trying to figure out, like, what aspect of prayer
so
would be ideal for people. in this.
My prayer life with God probably doesn't look like what people think, mm-hmm. because I'm talking to him all day, and I talk to him like, God, what is going on?
What is going on?
I do that too. I'm not even. I do that too all the time.
Yes,
all day.
If you don't give me something, yes, you got to give me something because
out loud,
yeah, out loud.
Be like, who are you talking to?
God.
Hey, tell him
the Lord.
The Lord.
My
Lord.
Yes. Praying
constantly. It's like I'm constantly asking him. Like if I'm in a situation, God, you know, is this you? Okay, you got to give me, I'm the kind of person, you need to give me some kind of sign or something, mm-hmm. you know, and not to say I have to have a sign to move mm-hmm. forward, but God, you know, bring confirmation. And quite often he'll bring some kind of confirmation. And sometimes it is finding time to sit and be quiet and listen.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time it's just an ongoing conversation throughout the day in the car.
Amen.
You know, getting ready. You know, sometimes, thank God I live by myself, because I'll catch myself just talking. I know anybody else would be like, what is she?
That's all right.
Me and God, we're gonna handle this, you know. So yeah, it's just an ongoing. It doesn't have to be you know, what you know, some people think it has to be this, oh, heavenly Father. No, God, what is going on?
Amen.
Can you help me?
Thank you for decoding that for us, Cynthia. For real, because I think a lot of us feel like, you know, I got to wait till my quiet time, mm-hmm. or I got to wait till Sunday or midweek service, or take out my journal or what, you know, like, mm-hmm. no, if you need a God, what's going on in the middle of the day, you need a God, what's going on yeah. in the middle of the day. Like, you know, he's there all mm-hmm. the time. So just acknowledge it. I will say for me, one thing that I have been finding myself continually going back to over the past few weeks is there's a scripture in Psalm 62 where it talks about pouring out your heart before God. And I literally have those moments where I just need to just like unload, unpack mm-hmm. emotionally to God. Like, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm going through. Like, I mean, like literally just like unloading on God. And that's the beautiful thing about being in a relationship with mm-hmm. him. He can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
He can handle it. So pray.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the third one?
The third one was, oh goodness. My
I
brain.
Know. I had it in my brain.
Oh, do it afraid.
There we go.
Do it afraid.
Do it afraid.
Yeah, just do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. I won't say it's a, well, it is a tough one. I think because fear is a natural aversion for mm-hmm. most of us. You know, mm-hmm. like there are plenty of things I could tell you that I haven't done because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Like, I don't want to do it. But yeah, embracing that fear mm-hmm. and doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
There was a phrase we had in college called feel the fear and do it anyway.
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
do it afraid.
Yeah. You don't want to miss out on whatever it is that God has for you just because fear.
How do you, because fear is such a natural aversion, how do you get to a place where you're willing to override that fear? You know?
Jeremiah 29:11 helps me to remember that God is not out to, he's not trying to harm me.
Mm.
What he has for me is good. He's not out to harm me. So we often think that our relationship with God is all comfort and mm-hmm. and it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not all comfort. There will be challenges, and God doesn't, it's not even necessarily about him punishing you.
Yeah.
It's about him growing you, testing your faith. So if I come into a situation understanding that God wants the best for me in this situation, even though I fear, mm-hmm. then I need to go ahead and step forward and walk mm-hmm. and do whatever it is that he's asking me to do.
That's good. That's really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely feel like God puts me in uncomfortable positions all the time.
Oh, but, yes.
I'm afraid a lot of the time. I mean, I still do it. I just feel like I'm definitely an introverted person, and God's always calling mm-hmm. me to do these extroverted things, and it's
same
uncomfortable and Yeah. I know growth is just is really uncomfortable for me. So
yeah. I feel like it's uncomfortable for most people. Yeah. But the beautiful thing about you, Toya, is that you do it anyway. You know what I mean? Like you still do it. So that's amazing. That is. Mm-hmm. I will say for me, I feel like fear keeps me dependent on mm-hmm. God. I mean, that's kind of how I am able to kind of move past the emotion of fear is because I use it as an opportunity to drive me mm-hmm. to God's feet, to have those okay God moments where it's like, what are we doing? You know, but and I feel like honestly that's why God wants us to do things afraid a lot, is because he knows if we felt like we had it in the bag, if we felt like we had it all together and we were confident about everything, then we probably wouldn't be praying. Mm-hmm. We probably wouldn't be talking to him. And he's like, nope. I'm going to need you to need me because I'm the one to be needed at all times. And yeah, I'm going to continue to stretch you and challenge you and put you in situations that require you to come to me. So do it afraid. I feel like that's a t-shirt, Cynthia.
Oh, do it afraid.
Okay.
I'm just saying, we're just putting that out there for you.
Got to put
just
this
a little bit. Mm-hmm. So in this new season that you're embarking upon, tell us what is next.
So it's an ongoing journey of unpacking what's next. Mm-hmm. Because as I talk to people, you know, they pull out things in me. So definitely building out this coaching practice for mm-hmm. one. I just had an interesting conversation yesterday. And two people confirmed that, you know, some consulting with churches mm-hmm. And ministries doing that. I want to plan some retreats, especially for women mm-hmm. who are trying to figure out that call. And then women who are in ministry in the trenches mm-hmm. and trying to stay sane.
That is a real niche. Yes. I was talking about that earlier. For y'all, full-time ministry is no joke, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know who you've been talking to or what you think, but it is no joke. So mm-hmm. that is a niche mm-hmm. that we need support in. Like women that do the, like, foot. They need that support.
They need it. Yeah.
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 That's awesome.
And then, you know, there's quite a few other things that I just want to try to put it out there and just see how it catches on. Mm-hmm. Some resources for the church. So it's really unfolding as we speak. It's a journey. I don't see it all. I don't understand it all. I don't know it all. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure there's some things that God has for me that I have no clue mm-hmm. are out there. So I'm just literally walking by faith right now.
Amen for that. Mm-hmm. So anyone that's interested in learning more about life coaching, the services mm-hmm. that you provide, your practice, how can they contact you? Mm-hmm. How can they reach you and learn mm-hmm. more?
So my website is confidentlywalk.com because Amen. That's what I want to help people do, confidently walk. And though I do focus on women, I coach anyone that's, you know, struggling or needs help with figuring out their purpose. It's just that my heart is to make sure that I'm a resource for women. Mm-hmm. So you can go to confidentlywalk.com. You can email me at cynthia@confidentlywalk.com. Mm-hmm. You can find me on the social medias at CYNT_Crawford. But yeah, that's,
I love that. Confidentlywalk.com. Mm-hmm. That's easy to remember too. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Troy, you have anything else before we dive into Noble Character?
Noble Character is a segment that we use to acknowledge women in the community that's perhaps inspiring other people, maybe just being a role model, mm-hmm. a light, mm-hmm. a pillar of light for others. And Cynthia Crawford, you are a woman of
yes.
noble character. You are living it out, walking it out. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony and your journey on how you took a leap of faith and transitioned from corporate America to going through a divorce, a separation, mm-hmm. and then going out and still pursuing the things that God had inside of you. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being an inspiration and a life coach to many people. It's inspiring.
Well, thank you for having
yes.
me.
Yes. Cynthia Crawford, you are a woman of noble character. I love it. So we're excited to be on this journey with you. Anything we can do to support you and help get the word out, mm-hmm. let us know. Let the BE community know. Like, we want to be here for it.
Thank you.
Yes. Excited.
Awesome.
Very good. Any other resources or recommendations that you have for the BE community before we get ready to close out?
I will say shout out to Valerie Burton and the CAP Institute.
Okay.
So that's who I received my training from, and I will be doing more training for coaching beginning this summer. Mm-hmm. So if you are interested in coaching, that is, you know, she's a woman of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a great place to start if that's something that you're thinking about.
I love that. Valerie Burton and the CAP Institute. So yes. Check it out if you're interested. Good stuff. And speaking of checking things out, and actually you're probably the second guest that we've had talk about retreats.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually trying to figure out how we can serve the BE community. So let us know what you're interested in, what you like, what you don't like, what you want to see, what you don't want to see. We are here for it. There will be a link that will be posted in the chat. Please complete the survey. It will take like less than 5 minutes. We just want to hear from you so that we can tailor our services to meet your needs. So complete the link in the chat. Let us know what you think and we'll do our best to accommodate. All right.
And if you're listening to this as a podcast, check us out on our YouTube channel,
yes,
or Facebook so that you can see the link,
yes,
and fill it out for us.
Please. Please, yes, great, yes, call, yes, out, Toya. And subscribe while you're over there. Subscribe, click the link, like, all of that good stuff, because we are definitely trying to build up our YouTube following and our social media following at large, you know, regarding Facebook, YouTube, all of that. So, yeah.
Yes. And don't forget to check out our website.
Yes.
Get your merch.
I was going to say, you want a model?
Models. Yes, sure.
It's
butterfly season.
Yes.
I'm wearing one of our dresses.
Yes.
On our website.
Yes.
Butterfly right there in the middle.
And we've got water bottles. We've got mugs. We've got t-shirts. Look, we did tap into, this was one thing that came up during our retreat last year, that, you know, we gotta reach the next generation for the BE community. So y'all, we got onesies, we got youth and child sizes. Like, we are here for the next community, the next generation. So anyway that you want to support, check us out on becomingevatoday.com and get you some merch, especially for the spring and the summer. It's cute, y'all. It's cute. That's all I'm gonna say. So
yes.
All right.
And if you haven't checked out The Chosen, that 5-day devotional by Wanda White,
yes,
on YouVersion, make sure you check out that devotional. I did it. I don't know if you've had a chance.
I haven't done it yet.
It's awesome. And it fit right in line for the season that I was going through
with the
interviews and stuff like that. So it was right on time for me. So if you're listening, Wanda White,
yes,
shout out to you. Thank you so much for that. Next week, join us for our season 6 Girl Talk finale.
Just like that, y'all.
Yes.
It's the end of season 6.
Almost over.
Mm.
We'll have Michelle Wilson.
Yes.
Stephanie Worthen. Some fan favorites.
Yes.
We'll be here virtually next Saturday. So don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Becoming Eva Today. See you guys next time.
See you next week. Bye, good people.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.